With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome, welcome. It is the Kevin Sheehan Show here on the Team 980 and always streaming live on the free Odyssey app. It's not Kevin, though. It's Scott Jackson. You're going to have to put up with me for at least one more day. Well, I guess two more days if you count today as a day. Because Kevin is out until Wednesday, so check your local listings. All right, so lots of things to deal with from the weekend that was sports. Particular from the local point of view, you had the Commanders over at FedEx on Saturday. You had the Nick Kyrgios show down at Rock Creek Park with the City Open. We'll touch on that a little bit. And the Nats' embarrassment of the season continues as they are now on pace for the most losses in the history of the organization since they moved back to D.C. with a terrible weekend in Philadelphia. But you know what? The Nats weren't even the most embarrassing thing to happen in Philadelphia this week, and we'll touch on that here later this hour. Also, whether or not there should be concerns over Carson Wentz. Is it 3 weeks out. I mean, you're 3 weeks out, or excuse me, 33 days out from the start of the regular season, 33 days out from the start of the regular season. However you want to cut that up, how concerned should we be about these inaccuracy issues and whether or not Carson Wentz needs some significant, live action against another team's defense in the preseason will be interesting, too. And I unearthed some statistics on that that we'll get to as we move along here this morning. All right. Other item of note for your, to put on your calendar here, Jeff Kerr from CBS Sports, NFL writer for them, is based in Philadelphia. So we'll certainly talk a lot about the Eagles with him, Carson Wentz. And he was at the Hall of Fame weekend action, so we'll discuss that as well. Because obviously one of the teams participating in the Hall of Fame weekend, the Jacksonville Jaguars, will be here week one, taking on your Washington Commanders. So we'll deal with that. And the Browns continue to make the headlines for all the wrong reasons. All right, so let's just go over this really quick. So FedEx had the practice on Saturday night for the Commanders. I was not in attendance. I was doing the tennis this weekend at City Open, but did find it amusing that so many people in the socials that had finally, because the game, the practices at Ashburn have been somewhat restrictive in the beginning. Now they've opened them up a little bit more. I think they maybe miscalculated, or some people put them in a bad spot by not using their tickets, whatever it was. But now more people than ever got to see it, got to film it. And you saw the highs and lows that everybody has been reporting on with Carson Wentz. That's pretty much dogged him in his career, right? Beyond the, oh, this guy doesn't take criticism well, he's not a leader, blah, blah, blah. Again, 63% passer, I was kind of laying that out over those last few weeks, but it's one of the big guys said to me, hey, they'd probably love to see the 63% passer guy, because it seems like in some of these live periods, it's a heck of a lot less. But, he had some highs, he had some lows, the other day. And, this is what you're probably going to get for a while here. As they kind of get ramped up, he and Terry McLaurin have not had a ton of time on the field. Curtis Samuel's been in and out. Now Denami Brown's not on the field. That's been, part of it. I mean, besides him and Jahan Dotson, now you got a tight end issue with Cole Turner out. Of course, you already had, an issue with Logan Thomas coming back from injury as well, from a surgery, I should say. So you've had a lot of, you got a lot of these things going on out there as well. John Bates has been sidelined with a calf, so it doesn't have the full complement of all the people he's going to be working with, you would hope, in week one, assuming all those guys are back and ready to roll. I still think it's a TBD on Logan Thomas, but anyway, So, you know, it's going to take some time. I mean, there's no doubt about it. But I think the funny, I mean, a funny ha-ha, but the ironic-ish part of all this, if I'm using that word correctly, it might not be. Of all this, of all the things we've worried about with Carson Wentz, you know, coming in more so it was about, Jeff George 2.0 or whatever people had labeled him as, is that has actually not been it. He's been wonderful, been delightful. He is, as I've said over and over, has checked all the boxes in terms of things and said and done, you know, actions and words as far as being a teammate. But the bigger issue has been, obviously, the wild ranges of accuracy or inaccuracy that he's had throughout the camp, you know. And that, you know, carried over from Ashburn over to Landover on Saturday night in any hopes that that was just going to suddenly switch, was going to suddenly flip just because he got into the stadium. It didn't quite happen, but again, it's practice. Talking about practice, man. I ain't talking about the game at this point. But yes, practice makes perfect, somebody once said, and we've all said it ever since, whether it's true or not, but it is pretty mostly true, I think. Mostly to God, honestly, pretty darn true. But anyway, we'll see. They got a lot of other things to worry about. Their linebacker issues. It was good to see, actually, a linebacker brought in, although nobody probably knows who this guy is outside his friends and family. But the team did add, quote, linebacker depth this week after, you know, talking a lot about linebacker issues and did at least do that. But, you know, the problem is you still have to wonder about what's going on with the guy you took in the first round last year. Jamin Davis still hasn't played a ton of football, but there was that knowledge when you made the selection. So, you know, can't go back in time now. Hopefully they'll put him in the proper position when they get on the field. But for now, they brought in Nathan Geary yesterday, former Eagle, did play in some NFL games, which is more than you can say for some of the guys they have in this roster at that position. 46 games in Philly. He's also with the 49ers practice squad last year. But the team had a – it was weird. So the 5th was Friday, right? Yeah, so Friday, I think after we left the program, Trey Walker, undrafted free agent, retired. Just retired. And, you know, Ron Rivera said, well, these things happen because they've had a couple retirements in camp, you know, and they already lost Drew White, the kid from Notre Dame, who they had some high hopes for. He was also you know, he ended up being injured, obviously, towards ACL. He's done for the year and all that stuff, but – you know, then you have this Trey Walker story, kid out of Idaho who thought might have a chance to make the team, just retired. Ron Rivera's like, yeah, it happens, you know, at camp. Okay, happened to you guys twice already. It was kind of crazy, but whatever. Young kids retiring, because obviously Antonio Gandy-Golden did as well, but Walker then unretired and was back in practice on Saturday night. So there you go. It's the quickest retirement since Tom Brady. And, you know, and this is all for a guy that is a roster hopeful. You know, the old saying about if you were thinking about retirement, you probably should be retired or you're done or whatever the hell they say. But I don't know. Maybe it was, Maybe it's just a one-day thing for Trey Walker. We'll see. It'd be fascinating to watch him play football next week when they actually have an opponent against him and there's some meaning into it. But it was kind of a strange story to literally retire for maybe a day and be back at it. So whatever that all means. Going back to the other linebacker, Jamin Davis. They went in this – the Commanders used this 5-2 last year quite a bit with Matt Ioannidis on the defensive line joining the starters to get five down linemen. They play a lot of two linebacker sets. Then, of course, they also play a lot of four down linemen with two linebacker sets and the extra DB, as we know, with the Buffalo Nickel and all this stuff. So they've had those different formations. But when they were in the 5-2 set, it has been pointed out, you know, several times last week, and I noticed it at the early in the week of the practice, because David Mayo was kind of popping. I was like, what is David Mayo doing in there? And I was like, oh, he's in there with Cole Holcomb. And when they go for that group, and it was sometimes in the goal line situations, that's where David Mayo would be and not Jamin Davis. So certainly, you know, I don't know how big of a deal it is. You know, we saw this last year as well. Are these two players going to rotate? Again, you burned a first-round pick on the player out of Kentucky. Kind of was miscast early going last year. Is this a big deal, you know, or not? You know, we'll find out, obviously, once the games start counting, you know, how much we see him on the field and how impactful he is, if he is at all. Hopefully he will be. Again, I thought he looked better as the season went on when they actually got him on the field in the right place. But the fact that, you know, going into your second training camp, and again, David Mayo, who was really a depth guy brought in here, was more of a special teams player coming up from the Giants, is getting more snaps. And he's played well. Not the dog day, because he's been good. He was good last year when he played. But it is it's something. I don't know if it's interesting or important, as the head coach likes to say, but it's one of the two, or it might be both. Or I think sometimes it can be both, but that's just me. So we'll certainly something to monitor on Saturday afternoon, because you are, you know, by the way, a preseason game away Saturday. And I know normally preseason is like, blah, whatever. But for this team, I think it is, you know, a time that they could get some really important stuff established, important work done, and some, we can kind of get an idea, a glimpse of what things could be potentially, but maybe not. You know, a lot of times, as we know, preseason has become just a opportunity to hide guys, to get other guys, depth players, time on the field. And I think in this case, I think Ron Rivera revealed it, that Carson Wentz will play. I don't know how much, but he's going to play, which is significant because he has not been in a preseason since 2017, which was kind of important because that was a decent year for him, needless to say. Yeah, really good year, as a matter of fact. His best year. He was 11-2 as a starter prior to the ACL injury against the Rams. They were rolling through the NFC that year with the Philadelphia Eagles. And, you know, Carson, last year, now, I don't know what Frank Reich would have done had he not had the foot surgery, but he did not play in the preseason at all with the Colts, you know, because he was coming back from a surgery. But, you know, Justin Herbert never plays in the preseason. The damn kid, you know, blows it up. He was lights out last year. Hell, his offensive line, nobody in the Chargers played the preseason last year, and they came in and obviously, you know, converted every single third down, it felt like, against this Washington football team at that time's defense. So we'll see how the Commanders handle this offseason, this preseason. And again, it sounds like we're going to get to see some people, which is good. I'm always for making the most of your opportunities. They don't get to practice against other teams. Playing against yourselves after a while, you guys know each other, they know tendencies and things like that. I think it's difficult to always get the best looks out of that stuff. And a lot of the stuff is scripted as well, which is never necessarily a great thing. All right, so the switching gears here. We'll get back to the Commanders. So I want to get into some of the audio with Ron Rivera from after the FedEx session on Saturday. We want to break all that stuff down. Scott Jackson in here on the Kevin Sheehan Show. Kevin's out. He'll be back with you Wednesday here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app, and always streaming live on the free Odyssey app, I should mention as well. But let's shift here a little bit to the Nats, because so first of all, the Phillies obviously pounded them over the weekend, but it wasn't just that they beat them. Washington was outscored in the series by the Phillies 36-12. And again, this was great for the Phillies, who were in this wild card race. They're now 10-2 against the Nats this year. And obviously, this past series, which was a four-game series, they just knocked the cover off the ball. 14 home runs against the Nats. And the Nats, you know, part of the downfall, you know, now obviously Juan Soto's gone. You know, Trey Turner was moved out last year. Clearly, the biggest part of this downfall, the spiral since the 2019 World Series, has been the pitching. You know, Strasburg's injury, and obviously Scherzer, you know, moved out last year's deadline. Corbin just falling off the face of the earth, you know, and other you know, depth injuries with Ross and others. But it's been the pitching. It's been abysmal. And clearly the guys below, they're not ready to come up. You know, they're not ready to show up here yet. And the tough thing, too, is it just doesn't look like there's any help on the way anytime soon. You're just going to kind of have to grind it out, you know, till the end of the season. And, you know, as they talk about building up the minor leagues and all this stuff, and it's a great, great philosophy, if you know, because you have to do that. But at some point, you know, it really boils down to what the big club looks like and what tonight. But I saw this stat, and I was very much apparently sleeping on this one, but the Red Wings, the AAA affiliate of the Nationals, has lost 17 straight. So as bad as it is for the Nats, it's even worse for the AAA team. 17 in a row in AAA. How does that happen? Yeah, so maybe that's what they should have been selling on this, before this Soto trade. Hey, do you know how bad the Red Wings are? This is why we need to get prospects in here. 17 in a row. I mean, that's wow. It's not good. But the Nats are on pace for 109 losses. It is ugly. It is ugly right now, no doubt. And, you know, over the week it was supposed to be the big series, right? The big series between the Dodgers and the retooled Padres, and the Dodgers just knocked the crap out of the Padres. I mean, took all four games, last night, shut him out. They had Juan Soto mic'd up, did catch a little of that on ESPN last night. It was good. Look, you know, still love Juan. He'll be here this week, next weekend. Padres will be in for a weekend series, but, you know, it's it wasn't a fix-all, you know. So there you go. For all you people who are telling me how stupid it was to worry about just one player, your proof is right there. Padres got swept by the Dodgers. Oh, yeah, wait, they got swept by the Dodgers. The Dodgers just spend on everybody and don't leave any stone unturned. And granted, everybody can't spend like the Dodgers, but clearly overspending can work too in baseball. Not everybody that overspends is, you know, underachievers like the Red Sox. Clearly, if you're the Dodgers and overspend, you know what you're doing. I really think that's the thing. Cap in Heights raised, hits me up on Twitter, says, man, the Heat is retiring all our players. Said it also wishes it was enough to make Dan retire or resign. Well, he's, you know, on the yacht. I mean, it's not hot out there probably. It's probably temperature controlled, so I think he's okay. But, yeah, there is a the Heat's pretty horrible. There's no doubt. Especially if you have a helmet on and all that gear probably does not feel the best. Yesterday was not terrible, especially, I mean, I was courtside at City Open, which is usually on a Sunday. Couldn't be, like, court temperatures in the 120s, 130s. I actually have actual picture documentation of that from, I think, 5 years ago. I was there doing the tennis stuff, and it was literally 136 on the court. Ridiculous. But not so much yesterday. It was actually 89, felt like 98, which still isn't great, but it wasn't terrible. And it was breezy. There was like a good wind yesterday, at least in Rock Creek Park. I don't know where it was, where everybody else was, but it was very pleasant. And then in the evening when the sun's down, it was great. So I was pumped up about that because it usually is horrible. Like you just want to get into the air condition afterwards and just never leave for the rest of the summer. But it was not bad at all. Nick Kyrgios, if you missed it, did something nobody has ever done here in D.C., which is win not only a singles title, but he also won the doubles title last night with Jack Sock. And they were just having way too much fun against Krejcik and Dodich. And they were, you know, Jack Sock, for those that don't know or don't care, is probably one of the best doubles players in men's tennis. And then you put Kyrgios in there with this ridiculous game and serve. It was not fair. They were toying with people. The only real drama yesterday at City was the women's championship, which Ludmila Samsonova won over Kaya Kanepi, and it was a tight match until Kanepi got a medical in the third and then came back. Something was wrong. Actually, a groin or a – maybe it was now. It's more of an abdominal, probably not a groin. She would have been able to move, but that just ended it. But good stuff all weekend. It was they weathered the storms, literally. I mean, Friday night it was there. You had players playing two matches. I mean, it's nuts. You never realize – if you aren't watching it every weekend, you know, especially in the summer, the kind of the grind it is, and just talking to some of the players, got to do a Q&A with Riley Opelka, big American, who's 6'11". He was just talking about the grind of the schedule, and he was taking this week off. But it is, and nowadays, unless you're, you know, look, not everybody's Roger Federer, Rafael Nadal, or Djokovic that can fly, you know, private planes or what have you. I mean, some of these guys that are getting their teams there and girls, it's not easy, the travel part of it. Whereas on, and then with, you know, the wonders of the world we live in these days with, you know, travel issues constantly, cancellations, supply chain issues, all that other fun stuff, it ain't always easy to get to point A to point B, especially when you're trying to do it in a hurry after these tournaments. So it is kind of nuts. Needless to say, it is pretty crazy, but it was a very good tournament. Mark Iron has done a tremendous job since taking over ownership of the tournament. And if you have not been out to the event, it's one of the best events you can go to in the D.C. area year in and year out in the summer. Props to them for a great event for men's and women's tennis. And we have great tennis fan base in D.C. too, for those that don't know or don't follow it. And apparently pickleball is very big now as well. I didn't know. So they're going to have, like, pickleballs. I was talking about this with some of the folks that did cover Tennis Weekly with me, and they were saying how pickleball is now going to be on television. Denton, did you have any idea that pickleball is going to be on TV soon? Or is on TV? Maybe it is even there. I guess CBS Sports is going to have, like, pickleball tournaments and stuff on the air soon.
I had no idea. I knew people messed with pickleball, but I almost felt like that was like just a meme on the internet.
No, it's a real thing. Yeah, it's a real big thing, and apparently it's got a history. Because somebody said, well, there's somebody who was broadcasting, we were talking about, they go, yeah, they do all this research. I go, research? About what? And I go, is there a research to be done on a pickleball? Besides knowing the rules, obviously, you have to always know the rules. But they're like, no, yeah. They're saying, yeah, there's a history to it and all this stuff. I'm like, well, okay, interesting. But it's like, you know, to me it looks like ping pong on the court, like you're on the table. You know what I mean? It's like almost like a ping pong on the table situation. But apparently everything you know about tennis and hitting the pickleball is the opposite. It's just completely the opposite way of doing everything. So that's what's fascinating. But it's a racket sport, so like the tennis folks are certainly embracing it because it's good for them in a way as well. So I don't know. I think it's – at first I saw it and I was like, But then I was like, it's probably a smart thing. Because, you know, you get – you know, some people that like to play tennis at a certain age, you can't cover all that ground.
I feel like it's one of those things where if it's on, I'd watch it. I don't know if I'd search it out, though.
Well, look, I wouldn't watch cornhole either. I'll play it, you know. I mean, it's fine to play, throw the beanbag, but I don't want to watch it on TV when it's on the Ocho. But, you know, they had it on the Ocho the other day. Which is just, you know, they throw their own ESPN too. Is it Lark? But anyhow, yeah, it's just whatever. But yeah, pickleball is kind of like, it's on a badminton size court is what it is. And it is wild. I mean, it look, and like the paddles, and it's definitely different. And they, it is, I don't know. But apparently there's a history to it. It's been a sport that's been around for a while, and we're just starting to pick up on it. I don't know. Maybe it's for spatial issues because of real estate being so expensive. We have to make pickleball courts that are full on tennis courts. I don't know. Or it's just people because their knees are bad. They just say, no, we'll play pickleball instead. I don't want to run that much. Whatever it is, it's going to be on your television sets a lot more soon, apparently. It's a thing, as they like to say. All right, speaking of things, let's get to the inaccuracy thing with Carson Wentz. Is it a thing or not? Ron Rivera had his thoughts on it. We'll hear from Scary Terry. Terry McLaurin, and a little bit from Carson Wentz himself. Coming up, it is the Kevin Sheehan Show minus Kevin Scott Jackson in with you here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Oh, yeah, it takes time.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Time to develop that timing, and it takes a lot of conversations too. You know, it's, you go have a rep of practice, whether you hit it or you miss it, you come in, you watch the film and say, hey, this is what I was seeing, this is what I was feeling. And you just talk through it. But you know, again, it's still early. It's not perfect. It's in a good place, but it's going to keep getting better. And so lots of things to keep talking through and building, but I feel good about where we're at.
All right, it's Carson Wentz after Saturday night's session. So again, if you're following this on social media or if you're there, but it was entertaining to see, the stat lines that people were putting out there, as they were keeping stats on some of the drills for Carson Wentz. You know, again, he had some, couple rocky sessions that he came back and was better. But again, this is nothing that those that have been to Ashburn at the command center haven't seen quite a bit of. And no doubt, for every one of the inaccurate, you know, shorter passes he throws or out patterns, you know, that skips early, he's thrown a lot of really good deep balls in camp as well. And as he said, it's going to take time. And they have time. They have, what, did I figure this out earlier, right? 33 days. I don't even know if that's right. That sounds about right. So essentially, you know, the first preseason game is Saturday. So let's just do it from Saturday. So, or from next Sunday would be the 14th, right? So you'd have, from there, you would have 4 weeks, right? Yeah, so you got time. There's no doubt. You do have over a month to get ready. And I was encouraged to hear Ron Rivera say that he's going to play Carson in the preseason because he needs to. There's no doubt. All right, Terry McLaurin, who had obviously missed most of the, all of it in terms of the on-field stuff this offseason prior to training camp and getting that contract done with the contract negotiations going on after Saturday's session, talked about the building of chemistry with his new quarterback.
Yeah, I definitely think it's a work in progress. I feel like we are connecting more as the weeks go on. This was nice to kind of get in a more game-like atmosphere in the stadium, get used to the operation time. Next week is going to be a good week for us to continue to build on what we've been doing well this offseason in camp. And then the first game of the preseason is the end of the week. So I think we have a chance to go out there and try to make a good impression just for ourselves and try to get some momentum through the preseason into the regular season.
All right, it was Terry McLaurin after Saturday talking about building that chemistry. And again, Dotson has had a lot more of a head start with Carson. Tight ends have as well, but Terry McLaurin has played with, 25 quarterbacks? Okay, I'm exaggerating. Well, his first year he played with four quarterbacks. Last season they only had three quarterbacks. No, they did have four quarterbacks that played. Take it back. I forgot the COVID quarterback situation here. But, yes, so he's had that a lot in his career. The four quarterbacks in a season. Hopefully he just has to play the one quarterback this year. You know, hopefully he's just one guy. I think he'll catch on. It's not going to be a problem. He's got to get it near him. You got to get in the old catch radius, right? Hear a lot about catch radius this offseason. More so than I ever heard about catch radius in my life. But the more I watch camp, I understand why catch radius was a thing. I mean, you're going to need some catch radius. There's no doubt about that. So that was again, Terry McLaurin's thoughts on he and Carson developing that cohesiveness. All right, let's get to some of Ron Rivera after Saturday's session. Here was Ron's opening thoughts as to the work they got him before taking yesterday off.
One thing I hope everybody appreciated was the aggressive nature in which we played today. The way we, ran the ball, the way we threw the ball downfield, things that we were doing on defense in terms of the different coverages we were using and pressures we brought. This is going to be a real good tape for us to evaluate. I'm really pleased with that. You know, and talking to the coaches as practice was going on about the different things that we did. You know, we had a couple of live periods. We changed the tempo up so we could get things going. And then we kind of eased it back down just to make sure we were working on the details. So we got a lot accomplished and very pleased with what we did today.
All right, so Ron Rivera after the session. It's interesting, he said aggressive nature. And look, I like to think that nobody thinks about these things and you just think about the football stuff and just getting your team ready. Whatever you would do normally, you know, beyond anything. Like, nothing should creep in your mind outside of just getting the team ready for the season and what's best for the team and football. Not, like, trying to create excitement or trying to, you know, maybe entice others to jump on board, if you will, the season. But you'd be naive to think that that wasn't a little bit of something. They want to make big plays. They want to look good out there. They're at FedEx Field. They want to put on a little bit of a show, right? So they want to build up a little bit of momentum. And I think also that's why this Saturday, the only home preseason game, you want to do that as well. And I think that's why you have to show Carson Wentz in a way. Beyond just, oh, yeah, he needs to work, you also got to believe in the back of the mind somewhere they're thinking a little bit about that. Like, let's create some momentum here in the fan base beyond just creating momentum for the football team. Let's get some excitement going. Let's get people to want to be on board. I keep hearing about how the tickets have been ticking up, and that's great. I can't wait to see it, you know, on the 11th. But you got to believe there's still room to grow. I think you'd be naive not to think that they would certainly like them to continue to grow because, obviously, they were towards the bottom part of the league last year. So I do believe when he talks about, you know, being aggressive and wanting people to see that, he's not just talking to the media. He's definitely talking to the fan base as much as anything. All right, here is a little bit more from Coach on, guy who we'd like to see more on the field, Curtis Samuel.
you know, when you watch him and you watch him get from one zone to the other and you know, kind of impacting the defenses as he goes through it. I mean, you have to pay attention to his speed and quickness, and it causes certain things to happen with the defenses. And then when you see him with the ball in his hands, you know, just how dynamic he is.
Again, Curtis Samuel, yes, dynamic 4-3 guy coming out of college. We just didn't get to see it last year. You know, you saw Debo Samuel, you know, what you thought it should look like. Obviously, we saw it, at the end of 2020 when they came here to FedEx Field, the Panthers, that is, and you saw the way this guy made plays, what he could be all about against this team. But since he's been here, we just haven't seen it. You know, they have not seen it. Again, I'm not going to act like I didn't think it was a smart signing at the time, because I do, and I still think it could work out. But clearly, you know, this is kind of a put up or shut up situation right now for the season coming up for him. But he's not the only one. I mean, you know, year two for Denami Brown's pretty big, especially now that he's been moved down the depth chart, most likely, if everybody's well, with Dotson rolling in here and obviously Curtis on the field, and hopefully, you know, a more of a even approach in terms of put the best guys on the field, because clearly last year that guy was, you know, the veteran, if you will, and Cam Sims, who did not get a whole lot of PT in the beginning of the year, and then as the year went on, they just like, all right, we got to play this guy. We got to play the best people. And so it's not just Curtis Samuel that's kind of on the spot here, but he obviously has the big contracts, you know, but, you know, again, middle-round picks get cut all the time. It's not that big a deal. They just did, you know, AGG retired. I don't know if he would have made the team anyway, but that's kind of which direction the Denami Brown thing is going to head if we don't see him this season. I mean, this is a big year for him as well as Curtis Samuel. Both those guys have got to produce for this team if they want to have a little bit more of the weapons that we've all been talking about and seeing on paper and all this stuff. Certainly Dotson, plug-and-play kind of guy, it appears. You know, McLaurin's going to bring you. You know, the tight end situation, depending on who's healthy, I think, you know, Bates did some good things, although he had some ball protection issues last year, too. We talked so much about, you know, Antonio Gibson, a guy who touched the ball much less was Bates, and he dropped it on the ground a couple times, too. So let's get to a little bit more from Ron Rivera here. He is his thoughts on the Carson Wentz inaccuracies, and this is kind of interesting.
I think it's a lot better than you're giving him credit for just because of the way things happen in practice. There's a lot of little nuances that we see, that we look at, that we get to review. Yeah, there's some inaccuracies, but it's nothing that, you know, we are overly concerned with. Again, we see what's going on. We see how things are developing. We see the timing and just the understanding and feel for what's going on with our concepts. So as we continue to grow and work on it, you know, we just feel like we're going to continue to grow and get better as an offensive unit.
All right. They're not overly concerned with it. Yeah, look, they watched every snap his, supposedly, right, before they brought him in here. Last year in Indianapolis, he was a 62.4 completion guy. For his career, he is a 62.6 completion guy. His best year in Philadelphia was 2018, the year after their Super Bowl season. He was 69.6% that year. But the year that he was pretty much at an MVP level, right, where he threw 33 touchdowns, 7 picks, they were 11-2. He was, you know, he was great that season. They were great that season at Philly. And then, of course, he tears his knee up against the Rams. He was only 60%, okay? So they know about the inaccuracies. But what they see is, like, the 33 touchdowns or the 27 touchdowns, which he's done twice, right? They see the big plays. They see the single-digit interception years, which, you know, took place in 4 out of 6 years as a starter in the NFL. You know, those are the things. So they know, look, they know it's a feast or famine at times with Carson. All right, they get it. He's not dotting the I's like Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers. They get that. I think they are well aware of it. However, you know, I mean, look, some of this stuff, you know, we don't know the nuances of practice. I do know if you skip the ball 3 to 4 yards in front of your receiver, that's not good. I don't have to have been, you know, in the NFL to understand that that's probably not part of, you know, the drill, right? I mean, come on. Let's be real here, coach. So, yeah, you probably got some concerns. You're seeing it up close. Again, you don't know players or understand players until you actually have them in your building or have them on your team. We talk about this all the time in all sports. You can watch the tape. You can think you understand it and think you can fix it. And we'll see. This is, you know, again, Scott Turner, man. If he can get this guy up to a higher number, and again, the big plays will be there, hopefully, and obviously keep the interception numbers down and the fumbles. not take the sacks. That's another thing. We don't talk a ton about the sacks, but, you know, last year Carson was sacked 32 times, you know, with the Colts in 17 games. Hit a lot more than that. You know, wasn't a great offensive line in terms of pass pro in Indy. Also only had one real stud receiver. Had a really good running back, though. His last season in Philly, in only 12 games, he took 50 sacks. And not all sacks are on the offensive line, as we all should know very well from watching some of the quarterbacks that have rolled through here over the last decade plus. So there is that part of it as well. But, I mean, this guy is taking a lot of hits, and they need to keep him clean. They need him to speed up sometimes the process. Checking down to J.D. McKissick's not the worst thing in the world. A lot of times it might be the best thing you could do, you know, instead of just holding it for that extra second, trying to find the guy downfield and forcing it. And these things will be interesting. We'll take your word on that they're not all on Carson, but some of them certainly are. His feet get tangled up. I mean, again, I don't have to be a quarterback guru to understand that. I watch his feet in some of these situations, and even against air, where his feet get tangled up. How's that going to look when there's a pass rush on him in week one against the Jags and against Doug Peterson, who probably has an idea or two about how to attack him? Got to clean that up for sure. All right, let's get to more on Wentz and his thoughts on how Carson has – here's Ron Rivera, I should say, on how Carson has progressed in camp.
I see big picture. I see the progression. I mean, you know, again, he's working timing. He's understanding concepts. It's a different offense than what he's played in at his two different other stops. And, you know, just getting used to the different players. This is a different characteristic in terms of the types of wide receivers he's throwing to. A little different from the ones he's had in the past. And so this just developing that rapport that he needs to have.
All right, there you go. That was Ron Rivera on Carson Wentz. And, yeah, they are working on some things. Like, they're trying some things they probably wouldn't stick with in practice that they, you know, in a game, you know, you wouldn't maybe look at the pattern as long and those kind of things. It's fine. I can understand that and appreciate that. And we'll see, again, if they can clean it up over here in this next month. And they're going to obviously have to continue to work towards that before it's all said and done. All right, so that was the wrap on the FedEx practice. We'll get back to some Commander stuff, including a interesting story from Michael Phillips in Richmond Times-Dispatch today about a study that was done on the workplace environment after, obviously, all the things that have gone on these last couple seasons, and some kind of revealing stuff there to deal with. Kevin Durant trade update in the next hour as well. But coming up next, I told you earlier about, hey, you know, boy, the Nats had an ugly weekend in Philadelphia. But you know what? It wasn't even close to the ugliest thing that went on in Philadelphia yesterday when it came to the Phillies and Nats. And that involved the Hit King. Yeah, Pete Rose was back. And Pete Rose did some Pete Rose things, as the kids like to say. We'll get to that next here. It is Scott Jackson with you in on the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and always streaming live on the free Odyssey app.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, welcome back. Team 980, Odyssey app. The Phillies yesterday, in addition to beating the Nats again, badly, had Pete Rose back in the stadium as he is part of course, their 80 championship team. They celebrate. I swear to God, they celebrate this thing every year, and they might. So my son was at the Phillies game on Thursday night. He's a Nats fan, full disclosure. He was up there with his cousins, my youngest son, and they went to the game, and they got World Series rings. Not real ones, obviously. Replica World Series rings, which he proceeded to give to his grandfather, which was the right thing to do, my father-in-law, who's a Phillies fan. But anyway, so they had this, and I guess in 2017 they were going to do this as well, but they had to scrap the idea of having Pete Rose there because at that time, and I had forgotten about this because there's been so many things with Pete Rose, it's honestly hard to keep up the Pete Rose file. I've kind of lost track. I've lost the desire to do it. I mean, there was a day and time in this industry, and I'm old enough to be in it, that when it was a time where you just, if you had a slow summer day, you just go, Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame, your phone call's next. You know, like you do that, right? So anywho, in 2017, they had to scrap plans to have the old Hit King in because the story came out that he was involved with a woman who was a minor at one point in his career. There was allegations that he had sex with a minor. So the 81-year-old was asked about it yesterday. Pete Rose at 81. Think about this. Pete Rose at 61 was probably a dangerous person to put a hot mic in front of. Now he is 81. And there's more to the hot mic issue here in a second. So he was asked by a female reporter for the Philadelphia Inquirer yesterday about that incident. And here was his answer. It was 55 years ago, babe. Rose declined to answer any questions in the dugout moments after a team photo in the outfield to celebrate the Phillies' 1980 World Series championship team and with other former players. The original 1980 anniversary celebration was postponed two seasons ago because of the COVID pandemic. So that's why they're doing it now, because they couldn't do it on the actual anniversary date. Although it does feel a little bit like the Villanova team that they celebrate to beat Georgetown all the time. I don't know. Anyway, a reporter tweeted on Sunday afternoon that the ceremony – Rose asked her if he had offended her, and he then offered to sign 1,000 baseballs for forgiveness before ultimately saying he was sorry. Oh, my God. Now, keep in mind, this is Alex Coffey, by the way, who is the Philadelphia Inquirer reporter, who probably never saw Pete Rose play and was probably, you know, wasn't even born when all this stuff was going on, and then she's got to talk to this idiot yesterday. She's very young in the business. And here's Pete Rose, you know, being Pete Rose. Guy who, you know, used to have the autograph signings across the street from, you know, Cooperstown, from the Hall of Fame year in and year out, you know, as a kind of a FU to them for not letting him in. Obviously has done a lot of other things over the years to alienate himself from baseball further and further with his lifetime ban. But again, who cares about 50 years ago, Rose said, according to the Inquirer. You weren't even born. See, I told you. So you shouldn't have been talking about it because you weren't born. If you don't know a damn thing about it, don't talk about it. He also told reporters, I'm going to tell you one more time. I'm here for Phillies fans. I'm here for my teammates. Okay, I'm here for the Philly organization. Who cares about what happened 50 years ago? Rose then went on the TV broadcast, cursed several times, used a crude locker room terms, including talking about announcer and fellow former Phillies first baseman John Crooks, a testicular cancer survivor. Yeah, he did go there. Yeah, he talked about not having two. I mean, it's just unbelievable. I mean, it's like a comedy thing, but yet, here, another backstory. I'll just rewind for a second. After all this stuff, and again, they didn't know what's going on, but players, look, he's still Pete Rose, right? In terms of, as a baseball player, very significant player, an all-time great, for sure. These are the reasons why he's going to be one of these guys, if he even ever is, in any of our lifetimes, put into Cooperstown. It'll be posthumously, like it'll be after death. There's no chance this guy's getting in while still alive. I mean, it's just these are the kind of moments as to you understand why they'll never put him in. And yes, he's not alone. I know there's a lot of bad characters that are, you know, have their bust in the Hall of Fame. I get it. But this guy is just a living, breathing example of, you know, he just can't get out of his own way. Example. He got, I mean, Nats players took pictures with him. Phillies players took pictures with him yesterday. Everybody did. People were excited to see him. He got a standing ovation. I mean, again, you can be, this is the tough thing. We have a hard time with this in sports, like separating great ball player, great competitor with just a jackass. I mean, it's hard to do, right? It's hard to do. But this is one of the living, breathing examples still, 81 years young, of Pete Rose. It's just, you know, and he was, I guess, bemoaning the fact that he's had a 32-year prison sentence, essentially, for baseball. But, you know, there was a time where he wouldn't even have been invited to the stadium, wouldn't have been allowed to be the stadium. He's been, obviously, allowed to do some of these things since then. But it's, you know, again, he's a mess, absolute mess. 17-time All-Star, you know. You know, he played for the Phillies for a short period of time. And remember, his great years were with the Reds. I mean, he had over 4,000 hits. He's like 4.256, right? He's the hit king. And only 826 came with the Phillies. But he was on that Phillies World Series team. He has asked baseball to end his lifetime ban over and over, but he's gone about it the completely wrong way his whole life. And this isn't going to help. This is not going to help endear him anytime soon with all this mess. But again, who cares what happened 50 years ago? I don't know. Maybe the victims. I don't know. Just a thought. Believable. And then the on-air stuff. You can Google this on the old socials. I can't even say half the stuff he said. But anyway, they're not radio terms. But man, it's just like, wow. But again, you know how it is. Like, you got a grandfather, you got an uncle, you got a father. You know, the filter just kind of goes away as you get older. It kind of goes away. And this guy, wow. You know, I really used to be able to – there was a time – I don't even remember when it was now – where I could make a case for him. I just can't anymore. I just – you know, look, in terms of just a player, I guess we separated everything, fine. I mean, clearly if you're going to put the, you know, the steroid guys in someday, maybe just go with Pete. And I know it's like, well, hell, he bet on baseball. That's the number one rule, cardinal sin. Yes, it is. But he never bet against the Reds. But then he didn't bet for the Reds, which is kind of a tip, right? So – there's all that stuff, and anyhow, he's Pete Rose. I mean, it's the best way to sum it up. You know, that's who he is. He's not going to change. He's, you know, this is what you're going to get every single time he's in front of an open microphone. Wow. Anyway, that did not probably go as the Phillies had planned yesterday. Probably not as spectacular as they had planned. All right. So, one of the I've been talking a lot about the Commanders offseason, and you know, training camp has been kind of boring, which is good, right? I mean, that's nothing matter with that. That's, you know, boring sometimes is good. Didn't have a lot of activity in free agency. You know, the only real drama was the McLaurin thing in terms of football stuff, obviously. Let me caveat that. In terms of football stuff, the only thing, you know, was like the McLaurin contract, you know, was the big thing, and you had your little Jack Del Rio dust up, but, you know, about that, it's been pretty on the boring front. Certainly nothing compared to, say, the Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns have gone through this whole Deshaun Watson stuff, which, you know, you had to know something was coming there sooner or later, and we're still waiting on the final number once this appeal is done. For now, he's out the first 6 weeks, could be longer, obviously. And then over the weekend, there was a story that running back Kareem Hunt, who is a monster, right? He is a monster on the field. Big-time player. Is better than most people starting running backs, but in Cleveland, he is behind Nick Chubb. But he gets a lot of time as well. He's set to make $1.35 million this year with a roster bonus that could make it a $3.4 million deal. He wants a new contract, and he was not participating in team drills during recent practices, which is, you know, the term we love to call now is the hold-in. It's not a hold-out. It's a hold-in. You're at practice. You don't do everything. That's a hold-in. He apparently asked for a trade recently, but the Browns told him they would not consider making such a move, and they have the ability to fine him for withholding services. And he then went back to team drills on Sunday. So this thing is pretty wild. And no doubt, as far as just football. But again, kind of off the Pete Rose theme here, there is, again, you can Google Kareem Hunt. There's a reason why the Chiefs moved on from him, despite him being incredible in Kansas City for several seasons. I mean, there was some ugly stuff, domestic violence. And the Browns, you know, took a flyer on it. And for the most part, you know, it has been kind of quiet there since they brought him in until, obviously, over the weekend. And they are not about to budge off of their position, which is, you know, player contract. We'll see where it goes from here. And the other problem is nobody's trading for running backs anymore. I mean, it just doesn't happen. Nobody's overpaying running backs either. I mean, there's just too many examples of be careful, you know, with running backs. And, you know, one of them, of course, is going to be at FedEx Field on Sunday, which is, of course, Christian McCaffrey, who's got a big contract and has not had big production, you know, Ezekiel Elliott, and that is unfair to all the other running backs, but it's kind of like the way things are going right now. It's the way things are going right now. But, you know, the Browns continue to have a very interesting offseason, needless to say. And we'll see how it works out when they get on the field. They got a chance to be good. There's no doubt. They have talent. Probably should have been good last year, but their quarterback wasn't great. And that's why they moved on from him and took a big flyer on a guy with a lot of talent but a lot of baggage. And to this point, it's the lot of baggage has been more on display until this guy gets on the football field talking about Deshaun Watson. And now you have this little Kareem Hunt dust up and perhaps done for good after them telling him forget about it. All right, Kevin Durant, the latest on his hopes of being traded before the start of the season from the Brooklyn Nets. We'll get into that in the next hour. But before we do that, Richmond Times-Dispatch with some numbers on whether or not people with inside the Commanders organization thinks the culture change has in fact been taking place. We'll talk about that next. Scott Jackson with you here into the Kevin Sheehan Show, live, always and free streaming on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.